Great Sunday school hour. Now we have come to what I consider the most important part of not only any day, but any service, and that is the preaching of the Word of God. And I trust you have your Bible open, and we're going to continue in this thought of every sheep needs a shepherd. Every sheep needs a shepherd. And so we talked about last week out of chapter 9 the things that prompted Jesus to get into this monologue with the Pharisees. They had kicked the, if you look back in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John, you'll see where the Bible says in verse number 34, the latter part of verse 34, chapter 9, this man that had been born blind, and Jesus healed him. And they just kept going back, tell us. And he just kept saying, listen. They finally went to his parents, and they said, look, he's of age. You want to know what happened? Ask him. And he said, I can't tell you all that happened. I just know this. Whereas I was blind, now I can see. Amen. And so then, they of course, being as they were, they got all in an uproar about it. And the Bible says in verse number 34 that they cast him out. They cast him out. They'd even threatened, if you'll look back at verse number 22 of chapter 9, they had threatened to put his parents out. His parents feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he, meaning Jesus, was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. I mean, you know, that's religion for you. Religion's just, listen, if you have anything to do with the truth and Jesus is the truth, they want you out. Amen. They don't want any of that. But we got over to chapter 10 and we looked at verse number 3, and the Bible says in verse number 3, Jesus said that the good shepherd leadeth them out. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that the good shepherd, well, listen, he doesn't cast out. That's something you do from behind. He leads you out. And I'm thankful that Jesus does that. Now, when we were talking about the shepherd last week, we talked about three things. We talked about the true shepherd. And Jesus said in verse number 11 of chapter 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. So he's the true shepherd. And then we talked about the terrific shepherd. And we were going to talk about the triumphant shepherd, because he said, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it up again. But I want to go back before we get into that third point. We'll do that another time. I want to look at that terrific shepherd. You remember what we talked about. In verse number 10, or verse number 9 of chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. The terrific shepherd. What's so terrific about this shepherd? He can save your soul. That's what's terrific about him. He is the only means of salvation. Listen, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way to have your sin forgiven. And so that's what makes him terrific. Then there's a second thing we talked about in verse number 10 of chapter 10. The latter part of that says that I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Isn't that terrific? Amen. He not only saves, he satisfies. Amen. He said, I will give you the abundant life. Aren't you glad for the abundant life of Christ? Is your life overflowing? Now, I'm not saying that if you get saved, you won't have any problems. I'm just saying, as we heard even in Sunday school this morning, that when you do have problems, you'll have Jesus right by your side. Jesus doesn't always calm the storms. Sometimes he just goes through them with us. But I sure am glad that he's there with us in all of life, aren't you? Amen. Now, today I want to look at this third thought, and I want to talk about a controversial issue. A controversial issue. Boy, that got your radar perked up, right? Security. Jesus is the terrific shepherd because of the fact that he saves, because of the fact that he satisfies, but because of the fact that he secures. This is what makes him so terrific. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we had Pastor David read in your hearing verses 27 through 30. And these are some scripture about the eternal security of the believer. Now, I don't know how far I'll get into this. I'm not sure. But we're going to talk about this for a little bit. I'm going to preach to you a little bit about eternal security. You say, what are you talking about? Well, you know, we hear a lot about security in our day. We hear a lot about and we have concern about national security. And well, we should. I'm going to say that again. And well, we should. National security. It's very important. And I think it's being compromised. Number two, we hear a lot about job security. And job security is something that every person that holds a job should be concerned about. You should be concerned about your job security. Now, there's some things you can do about your job security. Do your job. I mean, that'll go a long way in preserving your job security. But you know what? There are some that have done their job, but they were let go not because they did their job, but because of who they were or what they stood for. And so job security is a matter of interest, and it should be to all of us. And then there's what would be called social security. Now, I'm not talking about the check that the government tries to make you think they're doing you a favor by sending you when you turn 62, 65, 67, or whatever. I'm talking about in social areas of life, family, marriage. There ought to be some security there. And that ought to be something that we concern ourselves with. The Bible speaks a lot about social issues and social security. And again, I'm not speaking about a check. I'm speaking about responsibilities, roles that seem to be changing every day. I seen something again this past week. I'd seen it some time ago, and I seen it again this week where there was this person who was saying, well, you know, we owe it to our children to allow them to decide what they want to be, and then we go along with that and call them by their pronoun. Let me tell you something. They are what they were born to be. Amen. They are what they were born to be. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call them that. I'm going to call them what God designated them as. That's what we're going to deal with. And if you have any concern about that child or our next generation, you would do the same. And so you say, well, you're being mean. No, I'm not mean. I'm just straight. There's a difference. There's a difference. See, my concern is for the welfare of those that are getting mixed up in this stuff. Sometimes it's easy to find your way in, but it's not as easy to find your way out of something. And so we need to be careful about this. I said last week that some people say, well, you know, I just want to do my own thing. Well, you be careful that your own thing doesn't do you. Because that's what sin does. When you say, I want to be free, you know, I'm going to get away from that church and I just want to be free. Well, you know, you be careful about that. There's liberty in Christ. Look again, if you would, at verse number 9. I'm going to revisit this. And she'll go in and out and find pasture. That sounds like freedom. That sounds like liberty. Amen. That is true liberty. And so don't you buy the lie of the devil now. Don't you buy into that and think, well, you know, being free is free to do as I choose. No, that's not free at all. That's not free. That leads to bondage. And so we need to understand what is being taught here. So there's these types of security. I want to talk to you about the most important security. And that is eternal security. I want to talk to you about the eternal security of the believer. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean that once you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your soul that you have committed unto Him is secure. It's secure. Because you do not do good works to get saved. Amen. You say, well, I did do good works to get saved. Then I have a question for someone who may be asking that. Maybe there's someone watching by live stream or someone who will later on. Perhaps, I don't know, someone in the building today that would say, well, you know, I believe that you do good works and you could get to heaven by your good works. Well, there's a few things wrong with that. One is the Bible teaches that you don't get to heaven on your good works. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now watch it. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You ready? Not of works. Can't get any clearer than that, lest any man should boast. Romans 11:6. If it's by faith, then it's by faith, and it cannot be by works. And if it's by works, then it's works, and it's no longer faith. We're saved by grace through faith, according to the Bible. Now, you're not saved by works, and you're not kept by works. You're not saved by your good works, and you're not kept by your good works. But I want to give you something additional to that. You're not saved by your good works, nor can you be lost by your bad works. I'm going to say that again. Because here's where a lot of people come through. And say, well, you know, I'm not saved by my good works, but now my bad works can take my salvation from me. You wasn't saved by your good works, and you're not going to be unsaved by your bad works. Now listen, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And God knows when you're saved, you ought to do good works. Amen. Not to stay saved, but it is an evidence of being saved. That's what the scripture teaches. Now, let's get into the Word of God. I want to give you some things about this eternal security. Now, I find in these verses of scripture, and I want to just hone in on verse 27 and 28, 29 and 30 this morning. And I want to talk to you about the security of the sheep. Every sheep needs the shepherd. Every sheep. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is we are secure because of the shepherd's possession. Write that down in your heart, would you? We are secure because of the shepherd's possession. What do you mean? Look, if you would, in verse number 27. My sheep. You see what Jesus is doing? He is establishing a possession. They're not just a sheep. They are, he said, my sheep. You belong to me. I bought you with the price. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, we belong to God. Amen, church? If you're saved, you belong to God. Jesus said here, my sheep. You say, now wait a minute. We're all God's sheep. Well, I want to dissect this a little bit for you. And so in order to do this, I'm going to have to ask you to turn to an Old Testament scripture, Isaiah 53. Would you turn there? You say, well, I don't know if I can find that. Well, just look in front of your Bible, find the book of Isaiah, then turn to chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah 53 says, in a sense, and I want you to, as you're turning, can you turn and listen at the same time? Man, we're smart. Isaiah 53. Now, listen. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse number 6, are you there? Isaiah 53. I still hear some papers turning. So I want to give you an opportunity to find it because I really want you to see this. You see, in a sense, we are all considered sheep in God's creation. I want you to watch this, all right? In a sense. Now, you say, well, we're all God's children. Well, no, now, we're not talking about children. We're talking about sheep. Some people are the children of the devil. Jesus said that in John 8:44. And when you get saved, when you get converted, you become a child of God. That's called being born again. But we're talking about sheep now. And as far as sheep, God said, you know, mankind is kind of like sheep. We're being referred to as a sheep. Mankind in general. In Isaiah 53. Look at what it says, Isaiah 53. Look at verse number 6. All we. Now I want you to underline that word all. All we like sheep. Now, he didn't say you were. He said you're like sheep. But Jesus said in John 10, you are sheep. And David said in Psalm 23, I am a sheep and the Lord is my shepherd, right? Amen. So in Isaiah 53, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone unto his own way. You see that in Isaiah 53? I want you to see this. Because in a sense, we are like sheep in that we go astray. We are stubborn. That's right. You say, oh, not me, preacher. Yes, you. Yes, me. We're stubborn. We're rebellious. We're lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, listen to it, everyone into his own way. I'm going to do what I want to do. Why? I'm stubborn. I'm rebellious. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus now, the iniquity of us all. Now that verse begins with the word all, and here's the second all. It ends with the word all. All we like sheep have gone astray. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. When you claim the finished work of Jesus, you go from being a part of all sheep to my sheep. Amen. And so I want you to go back to John chapter number 10 where Jesus said, my sheep. We're secure because we're in his possession. That is a great possession to be in, his possession. And just in case someone would say, now wait a minute now, I still believe we're all part of his sheep. Well, just back up one verse in verse 26. John 10 verse 26, but ye believe not because you are not of my sheep. Now listen, it can't get any clearer than that, brethren. He said, you are sheep, but you're not my sheep. Is that what the Word of God says? See, I'm concerned about what the Word of God says, not what Baptists believe or Pentecostal or Methodist. We get so caught up in denomination, and I'm for denomination. Don't misunderstand me. I am for identification. I am for principle. I am. I'm for distinctive. Thank God for the Baptist distinctives. But I want to tell you something. If we're not careful, we'll get more concerned about a denominational position, or we'll get more concerned about some covenant position, constitutional and bylaws of a church position, instead of what saith the scriptures. I want to know what this book right here says. Because this book is going to judge me one day. This book, the Bible, the Word of God. So we are secure because of the shepherd's possession. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. And he said in verse number 27, he said, my sheep of John 10 hear my voice. Can I ask you a question? Are you one of his sheep? Are you? Because the Bible said, look in verse 27, right here it says, there's two things that happen when you become one of God's sheep. Number one, he said, they hear my voice. Do you hear his voice? Do you love to hear his voice? Are you even listening for his voice? Jesus didn't say, my sheep might hear my voice. He said, my sheep do hear my voice. Look at it again in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. And he said, I know them. I know them. And he said, they follow me. He didn't say that sometimes they will, they might follow me. I hope they follow me. He said, no, they follow me. See, these are characteristics of the sheep. And so we can go around all day saying, I'm a sheep, I'm a sheep, I'm a sheep. You might even go, bah, bah. But that doesn't make you a sheep. How do you become a sheep, preacher? How do you become one of God's sheep? How do I become that possession? How do I become a sheep of the good shepherd? Well, take your Bible and turn back to Luke chapter number 15. Now, I normally don't have you turning, but I want you to see a few things this morning. And this may be where we close out this sermon today. In Luke 15. So Jesus said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And he said, they're sheep. And then there's my sheep. And he told that crowd in that day in John chapter 10 in verse number 26 that I asked you to look at. He said, you're not my sheep. You know why? Because you believe not. That's what he said. He said, you don't believe. And so you're not my sheep. But he said, my sheep, those that have done what I'm getting ready to show you in the Word of God right here, those that have come to him in humble confession of their sin, and said, forgive me, take me as your own. He said, okay, you're my sheep. I'm taking you, I'm possessing you. What a great possession to be in. We're going to see what the Bible says about this possession here. Are you in Luke 15? Luke 15 is probably my favorite chapter in all the Bible. It is the chapter of lost and found. I love the stories of lost and found. I just love it. I love hearing people testify of how I once was lost, but now I'm found. And that's what this chapter in Luke 15 is about. As a matter of fact, it gives us illustrations of lost and found sheep, a lost and found coin, lost and found sons. And it talks about the ways that men are lost. And so I want to talk to you about, how do I become one of God's sheep? How can I get in that possession? How can I become one of Jesus, that good shepherd, that true shepherd, that terrific shepherd? How can I become one of his sheep? Well, Jesus gives a parable here in chapter number 15 of the Gospel of Luke. In verse number 4, he says, now what man of you? He said in verse number 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one? Now, as I said, when you go through this chapter, you'll find it's about lost things. There's a man who lost a sheep. There's a woman who lost a coin. There's a father who, well, I think he lost 2 sons, but one of them left. Now, this is talking about the ways man can be lost, and I want to talk to you about being lost. See, you've got to get lost before you can become one of his sheep. I think the problem in America in particular is folks are not getting saved because we can't get them lost. When you talk to people about being lost, they just look at you like, nah, what are you talking about? I'm a good person. That's not the question. When you talk to people about being saved, I don't think they really understand what they need to be saved from or why they need to be saved. Now here, when you look at this parable, and it's a parable with 3 windows, it's got 3 pictures, you have a lost sheep, and it's saying that this sheep, and I hope you'll write this down, this sheep willingly, foolishly walked away from the fold. Can I tell you, if you're here and you are lost, you're lost of your own volition. You're lost of your own will. Amen. Yes. You know how much you sinned yesterday? As much as you chose to. Oh, now, preacher, I couldn't help it. Well, sure you could. Amen. And then when you look at that coin, the Bible says that this woman had the coins, but she dropped them. The coin. Right? Is that what the scripture teaches? Yeah, that's carelessness. See, people are lost willfully, foolishly, carelessly. And then when you look at this son that left, he exercised his will. He said, I want you to give me all that's coming to me. I'm leaving. So you take all of these pictures, and it gives us a picture of what it means to be lost. So I want you to look at this in Luke 15. It says, what man of you, verse 4, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? That's a great question. Now let's look at a few things here. What does it mean to get saved, preacher? What does it mean to be lost and get saved? I don't know that there's a better illustration in all the Bible than what we've just read. So, remember that sheep we were talking about? All we like sheep? You're this one. All we like sheep have gone astray. That one is gone astray. Now, I want you to notice something that happens here. Notice, if you would, in verse number 4, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99. Why didn't the shepherd just say, you know what? He'll find his way home. I'm going to wait here for that sheep to come by, because no man, I want you to listen to me, no man seeketh after God. That sheep is not coming back on his own. He is not. He left on his own. But he's not coming back on his own. See, that's why every sheep needs a shepherd. Every sheep needs a shepherd coming after him. And I'm glad the shepherd left. Notice what the scripture said. He will leave. What man having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave? He left. Aren't you glad he left? The shepherd left heaven's portals. He left glory, and he came to this sin-cursed earth seeking that which was lost. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man cometh to seek and to save that which was lost. And so here is this shepherd seeking He's seeking so that he can have you as a possession. I said Wednesday night that before I got saved, and I'm just going to include the time that I've been saved, I have given God many, many reasons not to love me, but none of them worked. Amen. God still loves me. I'm so glad that God still loves me. Amen. I'm glad that before I even considered him, he was considering me. Aren't you glad God loves you? Do you understand that that's why Jesus left heaven? If you were the only one, please hear me this morning. You say, preacher, I'm not worth much. Oh, but you're wrong. Had you been the only one in this picture, only one sheep left, but the shepherd found it important enough to leave and come after that one sheep. Had you been the only one that needed Jesus to die on the cross, he would have died just for you. That's how much you mean to God. And so we find the shepherd searching. He's leaving. He's looking. But I like what it says here. He left. He doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost. Do you get it? See, the shepherd will never take you until you realize you're lost. The shepherd will never hold you and lay you on his shoulders and come after you and rescue and save you until you get lost. Is that what this parable's teaching? Absolutely. You cannot get saved until you get lost. You say, what does it mean to be lost, preacher? It means to be separated from God. Oh, listen, how I would to God that we could somehow, the light switch would click on in America again, and men and women and boys and girls would realize in fullness what it really means to be lost. Mankind is lost. We're lost. Blind. Separated from God. Lost. Depraved. Dark. Lost. You ever been lost? I mean, really been lost. I want to take it from the spiritual realm just for a moment and go over to the physical realm. Have you ever physically ever been lost? You talking about a harrowing experience. You talk about a hopeless, helpless feeling to really be lost. I recall many years ago when Sharon and I, our boys, Michael and Marcus, we're very young. And Sharon said, listen, I want you to watch the boys. I'm going to go check something out over here. And I said, okay, sure, okay. Well, many of you already know what's coming. So Sharon comes back and you find what you're looking for? She said, where's the boys? She didn't even answer my question. She said, where's the boys? I said, well, they were over there. Where are the boys? And so we started looking. Couldn't find them. Went over to this place outside of this entertainment area, and there sit on the floor crying my two boys. I mean, they were just bawling and squalling. I tell you, Walmart's got a lot of compassion. Not one single person stopped to say, what's wrong with you boys? And I'm glad they didn't that day. Amen. And I just felt so terrible. But could you imagine the feeling that those boys had? Have you ever really been lost physically and know the utter hopelessness? You talking about a lack of security. You talk about a lack of direction and purpose, fear, anxiety. I think sometimes we've forgotten what it really means to be lost. I would never suggest that somebody go back and live in the past, but I do think it's a good place to visit from time to time. Just to remind ourselves what it means to be lost without God, amen, without light, without hope, without direction, without purpose. Nothing. Nothing. No understanding. The Bible says that the minds of our understanding were darkened. Lost. See, until you see yourself this way, you'll never desire to be saved. You've got to understand, I'm lost. I'm separated from God. Till you see yourself that way, you'll never humbly come before God and say, God, forgive me. You say, what makes me lost, preacher? Sin. Sin. It's sin that separates us from God. We understand that, don't we, church? Can I tell you, we live in a world, not just America, we live in a world. These brethren will tell you, listen, it's the same way no matter where you go. People don't realize they're lost. You got to get people lost or you can get them saved. And so he says here in Luke 15, look if you would in verse number 4, he said, there has to be a searching. In order for there to be a search, there has to be something or someone lost. But then I want you to notice the sacrifice. It says, they go out into the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it. He's willing to pay the price. Boy, I tell you, I thought about this hymn when I was studying this, and I'm just going to ask you to, I rarely do this, but I'm going to ask you to take your hymnal and turn, if you would, to page 465. Now, don't get nervous. I'm not going to sing, and I'm not going to ask you to sing. But I want to read you something. I want you to read it. You see, we're talking this morning about the eternal security of the believer. And the first thing that I want us to realize is whose we are. I'm secure because of whose possession I'm in. Jesus said, listen, you're in my hand. We're going to see here in Luke 15 that when he found that sheep, he laid that sheep on his shoulders. Amen. Close to his heart. That's a great place to be. Can I want you to look right up here at the preacher just for a minute. You're looking at a man that's in a great place. You say, well, I am too. I'm in church. Oh, I'm not talking about being in church. I'm glad I'm in church. But I'm not talking about being there. I am close to the shepherd's heart. Amen. The shepherd has laid this old sheep on his shoulders. Can you imagine the strength of those shoulders? The Bible says that one day that he's going to have the government on his shoulder, singular. But he's got us, the sheep, on his shoulders, plural. Now, can you tell me something stronger than the shoulders of an omnipotent, almighty God? Nothing. So he said, we're on his shoulders, we're in his hand, and no man can pluck us out of his hand. That's security. Why? Because we are possessed by him. It's who's our shepherd that makes us secure. We're weak. We can't even find our way back home on our own. This whole parable is talking about the strength of the shepherd and the weakness of the sheep. So it's talking about the search, but then it talks about the sacrifice. He searched until he found it. You ever thought about what Jesus went through to find you? You ever thought about what Jesus went through to save you? You see, I saw a picture one time, and man on the cross, and a few trickles of blood. Listen, that's Hollywood. That stuff is ridiculous. It's really blasphemy. When we realize what Jesus suffered, bled, and died to pay the price to own us, to possess us. The songwriter put it this way, and I started going to the background. I'm going to encourage you to go to the background of the lady. Her name is Elizabeth Clefane, who wrote this song. She wrote it as a poem to some young children. And then Ira Sankey, who was the song leader and who sang for Dwight L. Moody, put music to it, and he sang it at Dwight L. Moody's Crusades. What a story behind this song. But I want us to look, would you look at the third stanza? We're talking about the sacrifice of the shepherd to secure us, but none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die, sick and helpless and ready to die. That's where Jesus found me. That's where Jesus found you too. Look at verse 4. Lord, Whence are those blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They are pierced tonight by many a thorn. They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. And then finally, the fifth stanza. But all through the mountains, thunder-riven, and up on the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gate of heaven. Rejoice! I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed round the throne. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. What a beautiful hymn. What a beautiful hymn. So we're possessed by the shepherd. I'd rather be possessed by none other. Thank God that I belong to him. There's a song that says, he is mine. And I'm glad that he is mine. But I'm more glad that I am his. Amen. Amen. As you look down at your Bible at Luke 15, in verse number 5, it says, and when he had found it, Jesus just kept searching until he found it. I remember when Jesus was searching for me. And I could tell that he was hot on my trail. And I would run as a young kid, as a teenager. I would run from that call as he was calling my name. Dale! You know how when you're looking for something, right? Dale! Dale! Man, I'd hear that voice. I'd run. Finally, one night, I heard his voice in a different way. And I did not run from him. I ran to him. What a wonderful night that was. Amen. October the 26th, 1980, brother, I got in. Are you listening to me? I got in. I got saved. I got into the sheepfold of the Good Shepherd. The scripture says, and when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, verse 5, rejoicing. Now some people have said, well, who was rejoicing, the sheep or the shepherd? Yes. They both were rejoicing, amen. And not only was I rejoicing, and not only was my shepherd rejoicing, but all of heaven was rejoicing with us. Amen. The rejoicing. Look at verse number 6, if you would. And when he cometh home, he calleth together all of his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. See, that's what it means to get saved. You realize you're lost, and you realize without the help of the shepherd, you'll never know what it is to be found. There's nothing you can do on your own to get back to the shepherd. He comes for you, and he takes you. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. He was buried for you. He rose again the third day for you. And when you receive that, then you become his possession. His possession. We'll go back to John 10 and close. Would you do that? John chapter 10. And so the first thing, and I'm going to close right here with this first point. I'm talking about eternal security. I'm eternally secure because I'm his. See, if he was mine, now listen to me now. If that's all this was predicated on, he's mine, I lose stuff. Amen. I thought my wife would say amen real loud there. I lose stuff. I do. But when Jesus prayed, he said, all that thou gave me, John 17, I've lost none. You listening? Save the son of perdition, never was saved, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So, next week we'll pick up here. In John 10, I want you to see this, okay? Look at verse number 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They're mine. They're my sheep. I possess them. And so I'm secure because of the shepherd's possession. Next week, we're going to talk about this. I'm secure because of the shepherd's power. I want you to notice verse number 28. Because they're my sheep. Now don't miss this. Verse 28 says, and I give unto them eternal life. What power? Did you get that? God said, I gave you a gift. You're going to live forever. And you shall never perish. Now, brother, that's the power of God right there. See, this is outside of mine and your realm. Are you listening? Eternity is outside of my reference. I can't reference eternity. But God is eternal. See, I live in time, space, and matter. I can deal with some things in time, space, and matter. But I cannot. Eternity, that's God's business. Amen. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you something that you can't earn. It's a gift. He said, I give. He said you don't have to earn it. He said, I want to make you secure. I'm going to give you something that'll make you secure. I'm going to make you my possession, but by my power, I'm giving you eternal life. By my power, the same power that laid down his life and the same power that took it up again, he said, I'm giving you that power. The power of eternal life. I have eternal life. Not I'm going to get eternal life. He didn't say I'm going to give you. He said, I give you right now the possession of eternal life. I possess eternal life. Amen. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Well, let's stand to our feet if you would, please. There's a lot to this thing of being eternally secure. It's more than just running around, and I'm not being mean or cruel here. It's more than just running around saying, well, once saved, always saved, once saved, always saved. No, it's a Bible doctrine that needs to be taught. I've got enough to be concerned about when I lay my head upon my pillow. I sure don't want to be concerned about, am I going to wake up saved? Amen. It's going to be very hard for you to convince somebody that they need to get saved if you're not even sure you're saved yourself. Or if you're trying to get them to trust in a God that can't keep what he saves. But I'm glad that he can, aren't you? I'm glad that he can. I'm glad I'm his possession. Whose possession are you? Who do you belong to? You say, well, I'm not sure. Let me ask you a question. Jesus said, I can tell you how you can know if you're my sheep and I possess you. They hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. You hear his voice? Does God speak to you about wrong that you do? When you do wrong, does the Spirit of God speak to you and say, hey, oh, that's not right? Are you following him? Do you pray, God, lead me alone. I want to follow you. Let's bow our heads together. The pianists are going to begin to play.